If you would please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. My text will be verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." In this society of political correctness and ecumenical appeal, it is fairly easy to find a church which offers everything and stands for nothing. Tolerance is the watchword of the day. Therefore, we can enter a church which has mass appeal and often find professing Christians from all walks of life. That is, the church is a melting pot for those across denominational barriers. Now, I've seen a few large churches like that, which have really just a mixture of Baptists and Catholics and Lutherans and Methodists and Presbyterians and Church of Christ and Pentecostals and others. And these all have laid down their identifying tenets and have come together into one big happy family. Personally, for me, I just cannot see how this can be. The only conclusion I can come to is that the preacher doesn't preach much Bible. Doctrine must be avoided for the sake of unity. Further, anything which would offend is shunned. Accepted generalities are the topic of the day. And those things which give good feelings and soothe consciences and happy thoughts and warm fuzzies. This type of preaching will be referenced later, but a verse which comes to mind is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, which says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." In our society, we call it ear tickling. The preacher only preaches that which the people want to hear. He speaks things which sound good and makes the hearers feel good. The other day, my brother posted this saying, and I quote, "People often get upset when you teach them what is in the Bible rather than what they presume is in the Bible." End of quote. Now, how true that is. What then should be my objective in preaching? As we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth, what should you expect and what should come from this pulpit? This is my topic of discussion today. And I will share what I believe God says about the preaching ministry. And so the title of my message is Objectives in Preaching. Objectives in Preaching. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And we pray for those who could not be with us today. And Lord, we thank you, Sister Allie, that you would just touch her and heal her. And the others, Lord, you know. And Lord, we just commit this time to you today that as we look into your word, that you would direct our hearts by your Spirit and help us to have understanding minds and Lord, to see the truth and to be able to apply the truth. And Lord, let us always be found faithful to you. We do pray that if there's any lost in our midst today, that they would be convicted of their sin, that you would move in their hearts by your Spirit, draw them to yourself. And we pray that you would grant them repentance and faith that they might be saved today. Open up their hearts by your grace and by your mercy. Lord, we just love you today, and we honor you, and we pray that everything that's said and done would be to your glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I speak to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, verse 3, objectives in preaching. Now, Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians contains much teaching which corrects their abuses. Now, they were a good church, but they had their problems. And so Paul has to write to correct their abuses. And chapter 14 is no different. If you understand the scriptures and are familiar with these texts, then you understand that chapter 14 deals with the issue of speaking in tongues. And so he writes this chapter to correct their misuse of the gift of tongues. And it is in this context that we are going to find a lesson on preaching. You wouldn't think so, but we do. And, by the way, if tongues were, as they say today, like Pentecost, the ecstatic moving of the Holy Spirit, God's explicit work, let me ask you, how could it be abused? You have to ponder that one a little bit. Well, let us learn from the text, verse 3. "But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." So we see the mention of the word prophesying, which is preaching, and We see three applications of it. Those are the objectives, and that's what we're going to look at today. So the first thing I want to bring to your attention is this matter of preaching. But he that prophesieth, he that prophesieth, the word prophesieth in the text certainly does mean, in the original language, it means to exercise the function of a prophet. And specifically, it is to prophesy, it is to foretell the future. However, it also means it is the setting forth of divine teaching by special faculty. And by that, you'll understand it's a matter of preaching. Not just the foretelling of the future, but also the issue of just declaring God's word, preaching. The Apostle Paul, you have many sermons that are recorded in the New Testament of which he spoke. And you know what? He doesn't prophesy or foretell the future in hardly any of those. Now, he did teach of future things. Now, we understand that. But he preached the word. And so by context, and certainly if you'll go through chapter 14, you will understand that it is not the issue of just seeing something down the road as a prophet Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, but it is the matter of setting forth the divine truth. It is declaration. It is the preaching of God's word. So by context, we look at this text and we look at verse 3. He that prophesieth could well have been translated, he that preacheth. The word is prophetase in the text. And so it is he that prophesies. Now I want to submit unto you as we think about preaching, because I'm going to give you the objectives in preaching, but he discusses the issue of preaching here, that I submit unto you that prophesying or preaching is better than tongues. We see that right there within the chapter. It says, he that prophesied speaketh. And we'll see, if you go through the text, you'll see that it's the case. And I'll show you a couple of verses in just a second. It's just a matter of, there's nothing wrong with the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is good in and of itself. It is indeed a work of the Holy Spirit that God worked in individuals. But you'll find if you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that it is beneficial to the individual. And so tongues are good, they're fine, they're great, there's nothing wrong with them, but they benefit the believer, the individual, except when they are interpreted. Now, tongues will not edify the church unless they are interpreted. Again, you'll have to go through the chapter, you'll see it to be very, very clear. But if prophesying or if the speaking of tongues is interpreted, then everybody in the assembly will know exactly what's going on. Well, then that's the same as preaching. And you got the expression of the word of God or the declaration of the word. But if the tongue is not interpreted, it just benefits the individual. And so you just have to go through chapter 14 and recognize that to be the case. But prophecy or preaching is better than the gift of tongues. And preaching is to be done, by the way, if you look into this chapter, look at the verse 19. Preaching is to be done with understanding. He says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Preaching needs to be understood, doesn't it? Over in the book of Nehemiah, don't turn over there, but you'll find that after the Jews had returned back after the captivity and the days of Ezra and Nehemiah and the ministry there and the rebuilding of the walls and everything that's going on, they found a copy of the Word of God. And so they began to pronounce the Word of God in a public fashion, and it's written for us in Nehemiah chapter 8, and in verse 8 it says, so they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's preaching. Take the book, give the sense, cause them to understand the reading. Preaching needs to be understood. And so I try to be very plain. I try to be very clear in what I have to say. So preaching is to be done with understanding, but if you'll notice the last verse of chapter 14, it also needs to be done decently and in an order. Verse 40 says, let all things be done. That's preaching or any type of ministry. Everything should be done decently and in order. And then, by the way, if you'll back up to verse 24, you'll notice that preaching should be done in a manner of which God would use it to convict men of sin, to convict men. Verse 24, he says, but if all prophesy, and there were come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. The declaration of the Word of God is what God will use to convict men and women in their lives, not just to the matter of salvation, but also into service and truth and all kinds of things. But God will use the Word of God, the preaching of the Word. And so we find within this passage a matter of, well, let him that prophesieth, him that preacheth, he's going to speak, and he's going to give three items that are found in that text. But before we look at these three things, I also want to remind you, because if we're going to preach, what do we preach? We preach the Word of God, don't we? Now, I can mention and make reference to the newspaper or to the media. I can make reference to books, and that's all right, but what's the purpose of the pulpit? It's to preach the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 talks about that the Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto every good work. What is the Word of God useful for? It says doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. Now keep in mind this description that Paul gave to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And what you're going to find as we finish out verse 3 within our text. But he said doctrine. Doctrine is the act of teaching. It is information. It is doctrine itself. It's the impartation of truth. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. The word there means a trial in order to prove something. It is a persuasion. And so you can refute something because it's been proven. And so the Word of God is not only profitable for doctrine or for teaching, but it's also good for reproof. And then the third thing is mentioned in the text there for correction. The word actually means in the text to set up right again. And so if something's fallen over, you can set it back up right. That's the idea behind the word correction. And so if we as God's people get off track, we can be set right again. We can be set back up. That's the word correction. So the word correction is a perfect translation. Nothing wrong with that. And so the Word of God is profitable for that, isn't it? Now there was one other thing in 2 Timothy 3:16 that I quoted unto you. It's also profitable for instruction. And that word means an education. It is a training up. And so it is instruction. And of course that does involve correction. But it's the word for child training. And so it's a development, a teaching. The Word of God is profitable for so many things, isn't it? One other thing also. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he admonished him. And he said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering. He says, be instant there in that text, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Be instant. That word means to be close at hand. It is to be pressing or to be urgent. Be ready. In season, out of season. Timothy, you need to be ready to share the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season. Be always on guard and be able to preach. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Oh, you saw some of those things about the ministering of the Word and what the Word of God is fruitful for. Reprove. As a matter of fact, that is the same word that is used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 that I just made reference toward. And so it is to refute, it is to expose, it is to rebuke. And that's what the Word of God is good for. So preach, reprove, rebuke. This word rebuke means to reprove or rebuke. It is to reprimand. And it is to admonish strongly. And so a matter of rebuking. You set a value upon it, and so you respond to it. It's like your children. You teach and train your children because you love them and you care for them. And so you just don't let them do whatever they want. And you place a value upon them. And so you will reprimand them when necessary. You'll admonish them. You'll direct them in good ways and try to steer them away from bad things. And Timothy is being told to preach the word. Reprove and rebuke. And then also exhort. And this word exhort means to call for. It is to admonish. It is to persuade. Even to console or comfort. So really what we find when we think about in this text here, he that prophesieth, it's talking about preaching. I gave you some references in regard to preaching, what the effect of that preaching would have. Simply the Word of God is that which is to be preached. That is the main thing. Now I realize in the service and the ministry of the church, it isn't the only thing. But I do believe with all my heart that the preaching of the gospel is the central thing. And there's nothing wrong with activity, there's nothing wrong with singing and all that, but the main thing that ought to be in the ministry of the house of God is the preaching of His Word. That should be the central focus. I believe that's biblical. And so Paul writes to the Corinthians and he tells them, correcting them about the issue of tongues, and he mentions this matter of preaching. Now as we think about these things that are expressed for us in the text, I want you to notice before we delve into these three things that these points that are mentioned here really just demonstrate a need. As he says within the passage, he says, he that prophesieth, or he's that preaching, speaks unto men too, and he gives these three things. Well, you know what? That means if it's edification, men need to be built up. And so preaching is focused toward that. The matter of exhortation, we need to be admonished. So preaching is directed toward that. We need to be comforted. And so the last word is comfort. And so because of all these needs, God has given us the Word of God so that these needs would be met, so that His church would be built up and the individuals might be built up. So, what are the three things? What are the objectives in preaching other than those things which I just referenced in the parallel passages and the reference passages I gave you right here in the text? What do you find? Number one, he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. Edification. The word edification, properly the word means the act of building. The Greek word for house is right here within the word, and it is the building of a house. And so in application, what this means is, in reference in a spiritual sense, it's the building of a spiritual house, or the matter of religious advancement, or an edification, or a building up. And so the preaching of the ministry is spoken unto men to what? To build them up. You say, but everything should be positive. No, not everything will be positive if we're going to build people up. Some things have to be negative because people do negative things. But the whole purpose is to build people up. Never it should be the intent of a pulpit ministry to ever just beat people down. Sad that it is, sometimes that's what they do. That their whole ministry is just destroying people and destroying their lives. Should never be that. The purpose of preaching is to build up, to edify. And though we may have to speak about negative things, that's still for the purpose of building up. We'll address that again in just a moment. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4 for just a second. Ephesians chapter 4. In this text, and I'm just trying to support, and it's really, I don't have to try anything. It's just a matter of directing you to the text. This text will support the fact that the ministry is for building up. In chapter 4, verse 11, there's a statement there about the apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. And what we see is the authoritative offices which were given for ministry, they have an objective for building up. It's found in verse 12 through verse 14. Why are these people given and why are they enabled for ministry? For, verse 12 says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And well, notice verse 13, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, and under the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we might henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. My objective is not to expound Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 through verse 14. We can spend a whole sermon or two on this. But it's just a matter of, you see the negative things that are there, that, well, we can be tossed about like children. We can be carried about on the wind of doctrine, the sleight of man. We can be deceived, and we can be tricked by individuals. And we're imperfect people. So what did God do? God gave the authoritative offices for the purpose of declaring the Word of God for, verse 12, the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. It is a matter of building up. The perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting there means to make an complete adjustment, or to adapt thoroughly. And so it is a matter of, you know what? It's like that little song that we used to sing when we were kids, God's still working on me. Aren't you glad He's still working on you? I mean, you're not everything you ought to be, but thank God you're not what you used to be. And what that is God, through the preaching ministry, is still perfecting us. And so it says in the text there that these people were given and the graces were given so that the perfecting of the saints, adapting, changing, being more in the image of Jesus Christ. It's a building up, isn't it? not only the perfecting of the saints, but also the work of the ministry. And the word work means work or deed. Ministry, of course, is the manner of service. You get the word deacon out of this word, and deacons are commissioned to serve. So any work of ministry, any kind of service that we have toward one another, well, they're admonished, and they're encouraged, and they're taught, and they're trained. And that's what the offices are given for. Perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry. And then the last thing that's mentioned in the text, there is the edifying of the body of Christ. By the way, that word edifying that is found here in chapter 4 and in verse 12 of the book of Ephesians is the very same word that's found in our text back in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians and verse 3. And so you go back to the text in 1 Corinthians 14:3, and it says, "He that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification." Preaching is meant to build up, to perfect the saints, to enable them for the work of the ministry. It is a matter of building up. And so to properly build up will necessarily include the next two that are found within the text, which you find in verse 3. It says exhortation and comfort. So these are all part of it. And so if we want to preach properly and have the kind of ministry God would have us to have, and by the way, that's the kind of ministry you should seek. You can go to a lot of churches today, they'll just pat you on the back all day long and you're just a tremendous person. And you never hear the truth. And you won't be perfected in the ministry, and you won't be enabled in the ministry, and you won't be ever rebuked when you need to be rebuked. You got to be very careful about that. But the preaching is for edification. The motive is to build up. It is to help. It is not to hurt. It is to build up and not to tear down. And so I submit unto you that prophecy or preaching is better than tongues because it edifies the assembly. I'd made that statement before, but look into verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. And so if you had the gift of tongues and you spoke those tongues, if there was no interpretation, you're edified, but nobody else is. You have to go through 14 to deal with the entire discussion which Paul is giving in regard to tongues. Again, that's not my objective. But we do find that preaching, the purpose is to build up, and it is to build up the church, not just one individual. And so the first thing is edification, verse 3. Look at the second thing. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation. Now, the word exhortation in the text means a calling upon. It is to exhort. It is a persuasion. It comes from a main Greek word, which means to call upon, to exhort or to admonish. Have you ever been admonished? Have you ever been exhorted? And so we've read that several times in the Scripture about being exhorting and admonishing, and I've used the term. Exhortation may be positive, which is an encouragement to do well, or an exhortation may be negative, which is a warning against wrongdoing. And we need both, don't we? For example, in Ezra chapter 6 and in verse 14, the first part of the verse, again, they came back from the captivity. They're trying to rebuild the walls and the city and all that kind of thing. And in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, we have these words recorded. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. It's a matter of encouragement. As they prophesied, they encouraged and emboldened the people in the face of all kinds of opposition. But they were able to do it. Why? Because the word of God was being preached unto them, and they were hearing a message from the Lord that admonished them in a positive sense so that they kept right on going. And so we attempt to encourage you by the preaching of the Word of God so that you will the work of the ministry until the saints are perfected. So we preach to encourage. Yes, it can be done. This is what God wants. You can do it. God can do all things through you. But there's also the negative side. We understand that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, Paul wrote and says, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. Sometimes sin has to be exposed. And we saw in the Sunday school lesson this morning about we reprove the hidden things of darkness and all. You know, it's just not a matter of a preacher standing up and saying, well, do this, this is good, this is great, and all. And you guys are just good shape. Sometimes the Word of God is to be declared, and you just preach it as it is. And you know what?
I kid with you and you kid with me, you'll go, man, you stepped all over my toes. Well, I step on my toes too. And I preach, it comes right to my feet. You know what? The Word of God will do that. We need to hear, don't do that. Stay away from that. This is dangerous. We teach our kids that, don't we? I mean, really, truly, if you we raised two boys and, well, God's grace and mercy upon them. But you know what? If everything was, if all of our life was just, oh, you're great, you never done anything wrong, everybody's a winner, and you're just tremendous, and you never made any mistakes, and good job, and you're so tremendous, just do whatever you want, keep it up. They'd be just rotten, wouldn't they? But it takes, don't touch, that's hot. Don't go in the street, it's dangerous. You know what? You really shouldn't be hanging around with those people. That's some bad crowd right there. They can really hurt you. You know, be careful of this. Be careful of that. Exhortation is both negative and positive. And so the preaching of the Word of God must be presented from both aspects. And what I found, and the truth of it is, if you turn on some of these ministries that are very popular, even worldwide, you know what? Some of these people, I don't lump everybody in the same boat, but some of these people never say anything negative. They never say, you've sinned. You've done wrong. Everything is just, well, you're a good person. Hang in there. You're okay. And you know what? That doesn't perfect the saints. That gives them a skewed perspective of life and ministry. Paul says preaching needs admonishment, doesn't it? And so if you're going to rebuke them that sin before all that others may fear, you know what? That's not going to be very joyous. We find the Apostle Paul teaching the church at Corinth that they had to discipline a fellow because he had committed an immoral act with his stepmother. Well, that wasn't very positive in response, but it was necessary. And so sometimes you have to hurt or to cut in order to heal. It's just necessary. And the ministry shouldn't be all focused on negative, and it shouldn't be all focused upon the positive. There must be a balance because the preaching of the Word of God, the objective is to edify them, to build them up through exhortation. It's necessary to exhort. Now, I'd referred to you in the beginning, and turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I had made a reference to this passage right there in my introduction, and we'll just quickly touch on this, and then we'll get to the last point, and I'll be finished. But here's an expression of admonishment. Timothy was to preach the Word of God because there was a coming apostasy. I already gave you verse 2, which says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering. And if you look in verse 3, he says, why do you do this? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I gave you that verse earlier. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of the ministry. What do you find? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's a very earmark of society. When I went through seminary and through my classes and, you know, whatever, now and then you hear somebody say, well, you don't ever say anything that's negative, and you don't want to, you know, don't ever preach against sin. And we find that there's just a general mindset in modern Christendom of, well, you want to be seeker-friendly, and you don't want to offend anybody, so, you know, tear down all barriers, tear down any kind of identification, and take away the truth, just something to make people feel good. And so you want people to come in, you want people to feel good, so you don't preach anything, because you don't want them leaving saying, well, I don't like that, and then they never come back. And so the issue in many places is we're just not going to say anything that's going to offend you. And that's why tolerance is being accepted throughout. Not only is it political, but it's also in order to gain followers. Paul warned Timothy and said that this is going to be an earmark of society. And I think we see a great deal of it in our society, where you can go to places and you'll never hear anything that's going to really help you. You'll just hear all that good fluffy stuff. And so he said,
The time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. Do you know what he warned them back in his first epistle? Let me read to you 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1. He had told them this before. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so you have to be very, very careful. Admonishment is necessary. Why? Because these people are going to go away. It says they will not endure there in the text in 2 Timothy chapter 4. They will not endure. They will not bear with it. And so they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. They don't want to hear solid preaching. And of course, if you'll consider it, things progress to deteriorate progressively. Back in chapter 3, if you're there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, back up to verse 13, it says, but chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I'm not standing here saying Grace and Memorial Baptist Church is the only good church and the only one that preaches the truth. I would never say that. There are tons of places out there that still preach the truth and stand for the truth and all that. I'm just telling you that there is a movement in our society, and there are plenty of churches out there that will not preach the truth and will not do it so that you might be edified and exhorted. They won't. They're just like what we have in the text. I don't want to be like that. You don't want a preacher like that, and you don't want a church like that, do you? And so we have these objectives in ministry. And what we find is what we see in our society, as we read there in the text, there in verse 3, that they heap to themselves. That means to accumulate. It is to procure an abundance. Just not one or two, but I mean, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They do so because they're following after their own desires or after their own lusts. You can read it right there in the text. So they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You go, I really don't understand that. Well, it's the matter of the word in the text means to indulge an itch. Have you ever been itchy and you try not to scratch it? And you go, oh man, that just so, somebody's going to just start. But you got an itch and you try not to scratch. But then finally you give into it and you just can't take it. And you go, oh, that feels so good. You know how it feels good to satisfy an itch, right? That's the word. Ear ticklers. And so what that is, the word means a titillation. It is to tickle. It's to get the relief or the resolve from that. And so that text says, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's just a matter of what they will do. They are indulgent. They are pleasing. They are ear ticklers. And people like this, they get preachers who will tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to hear the truth. They just want, as I mentioned to you, they just want to hear what they presume is in the Bible. They want you to always back, yeah, you're right. No, it's wrong. You have to know the truth. And these people turn their ears from the truth. What a sad thing. But we see it all the time in our society. So you go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. There are three things mentioned there. The preaching has some objectives to it. It is for edification and exhortation. And the last thing is this, it also is to comfort, amen? To comfort. The word comfort means that. It means comfort. It also means encouragement. It comes from a main Greek root word, which means to soothe. It is to comfort or to console. And so Paul says part of the preaching is, you know what, as well as you have to admonish, and it's going to be good and bad kind of things, but you know, you also comfort. All that's to build up, isn't it? You know why? Because living in this world is difficult. John 16:33 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Can I preach John 16:33 and encourage you with it? Yes. Can I take the word of God and the promises of God's word and preach it unto you and be encouraged and comforted and strengthened? Yes. That's what the word of God does. It's an objective. It is to comfort. You deal with disappointments and heartaches and the sins of others and your own sin. All that can cause us fear and pain and stress. We need comfort, don't we? But aren't there many precious promises in God's Word that will direct that? Yeah, don't you want to know them? Don't you want the preacher to preach them? Sure, that's what we need. We need to be comforted too. There are many adversaries without, and sometimes even from within. Well, you know what? We need encouragement to stand strong. Where are we going to get that? Again, the many promises of God's Word. We need to know what God has to say. It's going to come from His book. And of course, death is all around us, and it comes to those whom we love, and to our friends and our neighbors, to our loved ones. It's even going to come to us. And you know what? Comfort is needed. Comfort's found in the Scripture. Hope may be extended. But if you got somebody that never talks about, well, we're not going to talk about death because people don't like to hear it and they get all depressed, well, then you don't ever hear anything about death. You don't know how to respond to it. You just experience it, but you have no help. Isn't it good to be admonished or exhorted? Sure. Can't we be comforted by the Word of God? Yes. And I submit unto you that we are further comforted and encouraged when we are built up through the preaching of God's Word and admonished by the same. Won't you be comforted that way? Wouldn't you rather be built up and admonished? Doesn't that comfort your heart? I think we ought to have a strong pulpit ministry. I think the Word of God ought to be declared as it is. And sometimes that's not going to make you feel too great when you leave, because you're going to go, you know what, God has said that and I'm not doing it, and that convicts me, and you're going to have to face that and deal with that and struggle with that, and you know what, but it's healthy. We need to know what God said, and so we need to preach it as it is. Let me submit unto you in closing that comfort and encouragement is found because Christ is preached. Don't we preach Jesus Christ? Philippians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." And so we preach Christ Jesus. We want to build people up. We want to exhort people. It's going to be positive and negative, but we need to exhort and admonish one another, and we need to comfort. And we do so in preaching the Word of God, and we do so in preaching Christ Jesus, and especially for you that are here that are lost, you need to know about Jesus. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God." I would do you a great disservice to just stand up here, dear sinner, and say, "That's okay. You're not really a sinner. You just made mistakes. There's no judgment of God, and there's no wrath, and you don't have to worry about salvation. You just do right and God understands." I could be fluffy, couldn't I? I can give you warm fuzzies and good feelings. And sinner, you'll die and go to hell. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Christ is preached. Sinner, you need Jesus Christ. You are condemned. You're blind. You're dead. You need the Savior. Christ is the Savior. Oh, would you repent and turn to Him? That's the kind of news you need. You say, "Well, I don't feel good when I leave." Well, sorry about that, but it's necessary for you to not feel good. Sinners need to be restless until they come to rest in Christ. And so we pray for lost people that they might be saved, and we pray for the saved that they might serve and be found faithful. And we want you to be built up. We want you to be adapting more, being perfected in the ministry, and being more like Jesus Christ. And all that's part and parcel of preaching the Word of God. And so that's my objectives in preaching, because that's the biblical objectives in preaching. And so we want to encourage you by that, to build you up by that, never to destroy, never to tear down, but that's all for the purpose of building up. Sinners might be saved, and Christians might be strengthened, and God's local churches will be edified, because God is glorified when that happens. There it is. I pray that God speaks to your heart and encourages you by that. And so let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? The invitation simply is this, right where you stand. If you're lost, if God's convicted you, you know you're not saved, would you repent and believe on the Lord right there, call upon Him, trust Him? If you do, then come and let us know that God saved you. But if you need help, you come. We'll be glad to help you. But also, dear Christian, what an opportunity for it is for you to search your own heart. And I think you ought to love good Bible preaching. And I think you ought to love the Word of God. And you ought to seek it and you ought to desire it so that God would change your life for the better. That He would make you more perfect and make you adaptable toward Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the ministry and the objectives. May God bless you with it. Father, bless Your Word to our hearts. Moved by Your Spirit. Saving the lost, strengthening the saved. Thank You for the opportunity to share it. And I pray that Your will be done. And we commit it to You. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?